There seems to be no end to the political wrangling in Washington. So what's the long view as President Trump looks to get reelected? Well, our contributing analyst Neil Milner is in studio this morning with news of a new survey.
Yeah, hi. Well, no end is, I'm not going to put an end to the no end. It's going to get either more intense or worse, depending on how you say. So everything is pretty fluid right now, maybe even more than usual in between two presidential elections. But what I thought I'd do is just keep adding pieces of the puzzle that build a little bit on a show we did a few weeks ago where we said, if you looked at some recent studies of how counties had voted in the midterms, that there was even more of a trend toward Democrats than we thought, that almost every county in the country voted a greater percentage of Democrats than they had voted before. And the biggest increase were in strong Republican areas. And we said that's a little bit nerve-wracking for Republicans. Today is a study which is sponsored by the Voter Study Group, a bipartisan, nonpartisan group of policymakers and scholars who've been trying to get some hands on this. And they looked at what Americans are thinking now about issues and about politics. And it's a good survey. And we found some pretty interesting things, some of which, again, reinforce some problems for Trump. A lot of it do not. So we can go through some of them if you want. But the first thing is that if you want to take one thing out of this national study, it's no big surprise, polarization. That the polarization is as strong as ever. That hasn't changed since 2016. In fact, it may have gotten stronger. That's not surprising because these things don't change overnight. This has been around for a long time. On virtually every issue, Democrats and Republicans have very different views, and their priorities are very different. And most importantly, and including the fact that even though overall the country is more optimistic about where we stand now, where our families are, and so on, that's only because there's been a considerable increase among Republicans feeling that way. And so everything else is pretty much is polarized. And of course, in regard to Trump, the extreme polarization on Trump's approval rating. So let me stop there and see what, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were chatting earlier before the show, and, you know, there was this sense, you know, by some out in the community, like, wow, Trump did this, and that's got to be it. I mean, you know, that's unbelievable, right? He's just kind of shaking things up, and you're thinking there's got to be some backlash.
Well, you know, the definition of insanity is keeping doing or thinking the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't work. And I've tried to tell my liberal and progressive friends, you know, every time Trump does something and you say this is the definitive change, you've been wrong, and that ought to teach you something about how this works. And that says something about the nature of the approval rating for Trump that it's important for people to understand because that's lingering. First of all, overall, Trump does not have a high approval rating, but that hasn't changed. It's around 40 or 41%. Okay, that's pretty loyal. The fact of the matter, and in some ways, that's a problem for the president, because in this survey it shows that over time, if you ask these people in this national survey, have you ever approved of Trump, less than half of them, 49%, have said that at least one time they've approved of what Trump was doing. So there's a good argument to think that there is a ceiling here on how high his approval rating can get. It stayed pretty much the same. Today I was just looking. It's around 40, 41, the composite surveys. But you have to keep in mind two things, one of which is that it's extraordinarily high among Republicans. It's about 86%, and this is about polarization, only 8% of Democrats approve of Trump. The independents are kind of in the middle, the true independents. So that you have this, and what you always have to keep in mind is that it wasn't just the switchers, and we'll come back to them in a second because that's not such good news for Trump here. It's not always those people who switch, say, from Obama to Trump, you know, the blue-collar ones, the ones that we all made the big fuss about because they were strategically located. Overwhelming percentage of Republicans voted for Donald Trump in the last election. So that even though his approval rating isn't very high, and even though he's leaked a little bit of Republican support, and the survey shows that there are fewer who are strongly supportive of his, the fact of the matter is that Republicans, like Democrats, vote for their candidate. And in this day and age, when one of the strong motivations is to screw over the other party, that's a pretty formidable thing. But, and here's one of the interesting things in this survey that's worrisome to the Trump thing, which is something like that worrisome thing about the counties and the Republicans. The group of people who had the biggest decrease in Trump approval, now the majority of them still approve of it, but the biggest decrease is by the non-college white guys, tend to be what we call blue collar. And remember, so they've had the largest drop of all groups in Trump support. And that was a strategic group for him last time. It's certainly not the only reason that Trump won.
But it's a weakening.
It's a weakening. And so with all this fluidity, you know, there still is a difference between how you approve and whom ultimately you'll vote for, because it depends to some extent on the other candidate. But it's pretty clear that Trump still has a very strong, very, very strong approval rating among Republicans. But there's these little disconcerting for the Trump people factors that are there.
So I would imagine then the strategists are looking at this. Okay, where is he weak? Where do we need to you know, what do we need to shore up?
Oh yeah, well, and that's always the case. You know, there's no question that if you consider right now that Trump would certainly have, you know, a decent chance of being reelected. No one should be, for all kinds of reasons. The economy's good, incumbents and so on. You don't know who the Democratic candidate is, and that he may have solid support. But there are the other things that are going on. One of the differences that we don't know very much about yet, we can make some conclusions about it. One of the main reasons Hillary Clinton lost, there's a ton of reasons, you know, mm-hmm. you can, in retrospect. She voter turnout was lower than it had been for Obama among people who would support Democratic candidates, and so turnout makes a difference too. All we know about turnout right now is that initially Democrats were more excited about this election coming up than Republicans. That's kind of even out now. The turnout experts think that the turnout is going to be huge, because Trump inflames passion so much. But it's not at all clear yet which party that turnout is going to benefit. And some of that, of course, depends on what happens between now and then.
Is there anything more on the switchers?
No, there isn't anything more about the switchers. I think that if people want to pay attention to the switchers, there's some strong anecdotal stuff. There's all this stuff now about the farmers getting slammed. But, you know, you can't assume a kind of rationality just based on economics that'll switch them around. First of all, it's fluid. Secondly, people vote for a lot of other reasons for a candidate or not. So that's a possibility. The fact of the matter is that Trump does weird stuff. There's no question he doesn't do weird stuff. But because he does stuff that's weird doesn't mean that it's going to cost him votes. So the switchers, I don't want people just to think about those switchers, because there's all kinds of other things that are going to affect this election.
And what about the differences like on the environment?
Well, that's the biggest difference. I guess I should have meant the biggest polarization difference is on climate change, where an immense amount of Democrats say that's a high priority, and Republicans don't. That's nothing new either. I mean, these things have become very stable. The issue of climate change became politicized a long time ago when essentially each side reads its own evidence. Frankly, I don't think the Republicans read good science, but that's not the main point here. It's that that's a highly polarized issue.
Okay, but still, situation's still fluid.
It's nuts still not ways. To think the situation is still fluid, but I hope I've pointed out a few things that you can watch out for. And I would recommend one website if you want to kind of keep track of this stuff. It's a no-drama website, and that's 538.com. The word is written out, because they do some interesting data-related pieces with some smart social scientists who are good writers and good talkers.
All right. Well, thanks for tracking that for us.
Sure.
We've been talking to our contributing editor, Neil Milner, about the new results of a new survey out about changing political attitudes.